This is the Business Storytelling Show, a top global marketing podcast listened to in more than 100 countries, live streamed on social media, and broadcast on DBTV. Christoph Trapp chats with industry leaders to help your company tell better business stories. Here's today's episode.
Episode 655, my friends. Thanks for joining me, the Business Storytelling Show. I'm Christoph Trapp, your host, and we want to talk about podcast promotion ideas. So good, you'll wonder why you never thought about them. How about that for a headline? Not bad for this old geezer over here to come up with that one way or the other. Now, how do you promote your podcast? It's a very, very interesting discussion because, you know, I'm a big fan of the Create Once, Publish Everywhere models. So sometimes I don't even link to my podcast. Sometimes I just use the clips on TikTok or YouTube or, you know, somewhere else. And if you want to really listen to it, you're going to have to Google it or go to your favorite podcasting network and literally type in the name. So I guess maybe that's a promotion idea. I don't know. Today's guest, Bruce Wozniak, and he spoke at PodFest about the topic 400 ideas, maybe it was 40 ideas, way more ideas than I've ever had. So I wanted to find out what can he share? What are the top ones that we haven't thought about? And my apologies, Bruce, for butchering your name. I practiced, and in that case, didn't make me perfect. Nice to see you.
No apology necessary. You're not the first, and you unfortunately will not be the last.
Yeah, my people add an E to my first name. I don't know why. Sometimes it's Chris Trapp, but certainly that's not as bad as what I just did to your name. But hey, really appreciate you coming on the show. Congratulations on speaking at PodFest. And like, kind of fill us in. Why is that an important topic on promoting your podcast? And why is it top of mind for you?
Well, it's top of mind for me, number one, because I'm a podcaster myself. I just reached the 10-year anniversary last month of my Now Hear This Entertainment podcast. Every week for 10 years, I never missed once. And I don't do seasons. I don't take time off. Literally, I'm up to, as of the day that you and I are talking, episode 526 was released yesterday. I have a second one that I've been doing every week for 5 years. That's up to 267 episodes. So this topic is near and dear to my heart because I need to promote my own podcast. But I think, Christoph, why it's so important to me is because I know how much work goes into podcasting. And my attitude is, if you're going to do everything that it takes to create a podcast, then why wouldn't you move mountains to get an audience aware of it and to bring more people to it? Because I always, when I do this talk at things like, as you mentioned, PodFest Multimedia Expo, I usually start off by saying, don't take the build it and they will come attitude. Don't just say, well, it's there. You know, it's on all the major podcast platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, et cetera, because there's so many there. And if you try to convince me, no, but wait, I haven't told you the clever title of my podcast yet, or you got to see the cover art that I have. I don't care, because just having a good title or just having good cover art doesn't mean anything if someone doesn't know about it. Right? So how are they going to find it? And so that's what I do is I talk about, you were joking, the number 40 or 400 or whatever it is. The talk that I gave at PodFest was called 20 plus ways to promote your podcast. And there's going to be people who watch this and who are going to say, oh, but he didn't mention X. He didn't mention Y. He didn't mention Z. And that's great that there are more, but it just gives you an idea that there's so many things to do and not just social media.
Not just social media. That's like, I mean, people forget about that, you know, just like, hey, let's throw some audiograms. Don't get me started on that topic on LinkedIn and people can actually, you know, they might listen to them. They might not or whatever. And now we have video snippets, which I'm a much bigger fan of that. In 10 years though, I mean, things must have changed quite a bit, right? Like, I mean, how much has changed from when you first started? And I've been podcasting since, I don't know. I mean, officially, probably this show has been around since 2019. And probably my first podcast was 2014, but certainly not on my own channels, you know, just with clients and that kind of thing. But how much has changed? What's the different landscape today?
I think what's changed for me personally is that when I first started Now Hear This Entertainment, I thought that it was just going to be a marketing tool that I was going to use for my business because I'm a publicist. And at the time, the overwhelming majority, if not all of my clients, we're in the music business. So I thought, well, let me do a music interviews podcast. And as much as I could sit in Tampa and of course interview people from anywhere, my thinking at the time was maybe there will be some listener in Minneapolis, Minnesota that hears me and says, wow, this Bruce guy really knows his stuff. Maybe he can manage and promote me from across the miles. And then over the years, as I watched podcasting become what it is today, as I watched my own podcast and the doors it was opening up, the opportunities that it was presenting, I thought, I don't know that this is really what I wanted it to be when I first started out. And that was a good thing. What I ended up finding out, Christoph, is that it was introducing me and getting me in front of people who I otherwise would have never gotten in front of before. People that I was having, my episodes are 45, 50, 55, sometimes 60 minutes long. So you're having a very substantial conversation with these people. And of course, there's the chit chat that goes on before you hit record. There's the little bit of conversation after it's done. So I may have spoken to a guest for 60 to 75 minutes by the time we're done. And that does form the basis of the start of a relationship. And then it's a matter of nurturing it, which is a whole nother category. It's a different talk. But, you know, I saw that change. I saw this isn't just a way to get business. And it's not just a talk show. I didn't want it to be the same thing that everybody else was doing. And sure, in this day and age, there's tons and tons and tons of podcasts. And I always encourage people, don't look and say, oh, someone else is already doing this, because you have your own unique voice. You have your own opinions, your own experience. You have different things to say about it than the 9 or the 19 or the 99 other people that might be doing the same thing. So a lot of changes, but at the end of the day, it still boils down to, in 2024, what it was to me in 2014, something accessible that anybody can do. And all of a sudden you can get a message out to a much, much, much wider audience.
You know, what's interesting to me is, I mean, I've had some big names, you know, including yourself on the show. And some of these people, they probably wouldn't talk to me if I were just to say, hey, you want to do a Zoom call and just chat? Let's talk how we can help each other, right? Like, oh my God, I get like 100 messages like that every single day. I don't even know you. Why would I want to talk to you? But when you invite somebody on the show and say, hey, you want to come on? They just got a new book coming out, or they got whatever, you know, they're currently promoting something. A lot of big names are very, very quick to say yes. I mean, you do have to kind of show that you're, you know, that you're not just doing it as a hobby, I guess, but or people actually pay attention. But you do have to. It does help getting people to talk to you. Now, when you were talking about people forget about it, I thought of Jay Schwedelson, who talks about subject lines in emails, and everybody spends all this time to do an email, and then they've spent 5 seconds to write a subject line, even though the subject line is way more important than half of the bottom of that email. How do we kind of flip that script and make sure people spend the time on promoting their podcast? And then how do we do it? What are your top ideas? I don't know. I'm not going to put a number on it, but.
Well, for starters, I want to touch on something that you just mentioned that I see is a real big, I'm just going to be kind and say it's a common practice that I don't like. I don't even know that this falls under promoting your podcast, but I see people who will write about their podcast in a way that they're looking for guests. And they say, if you are a guest on my show, you will appear on insert title here, which is available on, and they list all of these platforms that they're on. Well, number one, all of us podcasters are on all of those. So you're not offering anything unique to the guest that way. Number two, I can tell because I've seen enough of these. Remember, I'm a publicist. So a lot of times I'm looking through that lens, through that view with that hat on, trying to place clients into interviews. And I can tell what podcasters are trying to do is they're trying to imply, oh, you're going to get out in front of so many people. Come on. We all know as podcasters, that's not guaranteed. Yes, your show is going to be on all those platforms. But if I wanted to be a confrontational publicist, I would say, well, how many people are listening on this one, and this one, and this one, and this one that you listed? So I'm going a long way to say there's so much more that you can and should be doing to hype your podcast, to let people know the true features and benefits, right? To quote a popular sales expression, instead of putting something that, to me, it kind of shows that maybe you don't have confidence. Maybe you don't have a big audience. And so you need to list out for people, these are all the great things about my podcast. Now, with Now Hear This Entertainment, I have, as you said, I've been able to get some really great guests. And I largely feel that it's because of the promotion that I do for them for the show that helps those people see, okay, if it's good enough for this person, it's good enough for me. And a lot of times, and I understand there's going to be people watching this that do a podcast and it's just a solo show. I get that. But for those of you who are doing interview style shows, you pick out those biggest names and you make sure you let people know all the time. I mean, in my case, I always tell people that I've interviewed Roy Orbison Jr. I've interviewed the lead guitar player for Garth Brooks, the keyboard player for Aerosmith, the drummer for Cheap Trick, the bass player for Pink, the trumpet player for Billy Joel. I've interviewed, I've lost count, it's something like 7 Grammy Award winners, a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, a Las Vegas headliner, 3 Emmy Award winners. And then I've interviewed people who have been on American Idol, The Voice, America's Got Talent, including one girl who won The Voice. So now you probably, the audience, just heard me say all those and said, wow, I got to check out Now Hear This Entertainment. This guy gets some big guests. And that's the impact that you want to have on people that you're trying to reach with your podcast, is they hear that you are an expert in something. And this is how you convey that through your solo style podcast where you're just talking by yourself. Or you mentioned those guests like I just had. I also like to tout the fact that I have gotten listeners from 163 countries around the world over the years. I'm proud of the fact that I've never missed once in 10 years. And I think that longevity helps people see that, wow, this is legit. This totally eliminates the whole, as you were saying, Christoph, to contact someone who otherwise would not take your call, who otherwise would not get on Zoom with you. If you have this very casual attitude and very cavalier, you know, hey, I should have you on my podcast. I don't know that they're going to do it. You really do have to make this a business approach and show how much there is around your podcast that's going to excite listeners, it's going to excite guests, and people are going to ask that classic question that salespeople always want, which is, tell me more.
You know, what's interesting to me is I'm probably not quite that cavalier about my invites, but maybe split the difference somewhere. Typically, what my experience has been when people ask, well, how many people listen? I think you can't actually give them an answer that they like unless it's huge, because it's always, they always would like it to be bigger, right? Like always more. So typically what I do is I literally do what I did to you, right? I just send you a thing saying, hey, Bruce, blah, blah, blah. You want to come on the show, talk about this topic? Then you can look at it and say, hey, do I care about that show? Do I care about the topic? Like there's no gray area, right? Like, you know what I want, you know, whether that's important to you or not. And you can be like, yeah, maybe I don't want to talk about that topic anymore. I'm moving on to something else.
I think so the distinction I would make when I said casual conversation is I noticed that when I talk to Nashville songwriters as guests on my show, they will tell me that if you're new in town and you just moved to Nashville because you want to pursue songwriting, they say, like, you don't just walk up to some hit writer and say, hey, we should write sometime, because they look at you like, who are you and what have you done? And you're just casually asking me, we should write sometime. So, you know, if you're at a conference, if you're at a trade show, if you're at some event where you see someone and you get starry-eyed and you walk up and you just talk to them for 30 seconds and the next thing you're already saying, hey, you should be on my podcast. They're going to go, who are you? I don't even know you. Don't just walk up to me already with your hand out. And I know you see it as, I don't have my hand out. I'm trying to get the person as a guest. You're still asking them for something.
It's just so interesting. And maybe it also depends on, you know, who you are in the industry, how many people know you, right? Like, I bet some people, maybe they just know me. Maybe they just know the show and they're like, oh, maybe I'll come. Awesome. Let's do it. So very interesting. But how do you, so once it starts to, once you get your episodes out there, I mean, what are your top tips to promote it? And my top tip to this day is to live stream the recordings. It is proven to this day. Every podcast that I've done, everything, when they live stream it, it takes off way quicker because people have an audience already on those channels. People are already engaged on those channels, and building on all those podcast channels takes time. So that is still my number one tip. And the other reason I love it is because what are we doing right now, Bruce, right? We know this is live, right? So we don't like, oh, let me start my answer over. Like, we don't do that. Mm-hmm. We just have a conversation, right? And on a recorded episode, people do that. Not all the people, but some people do that all the time. It's like, oh, I got to start that over. So we just correct ourselves. But what other tips can you offer?
Okay, so the first ones that I always start with when I do my 20 plus ways to promote your podcast presentation, I always start off by talking, and these are in not necessarily in any particular order, but for whatever reason, I always lead off with media coverage. So pitching yourself to radio shows, to television shows, sure, of course, other podcasts, but I don't want people who have come to this episode of your show, Christoph, to think, yeah, I get interviewed on podcasts all the time. That's great and congratulations, but do it with radio, do it with television, do it with online media. And the key here is you have to have some kind of angle. You can't just say, I have a podcast and it's great. You know, or in my case, I have a podcast and I've been doing it every week for 10 years. The producer of that show is going to go, yeah, so you and you know how many people could be wrapped around this building of this television station that have a podcast that want to be on our show? What makes you different? And I always liken it to, gosh, I don't know, does anybody watch the local news anymore? They would do the thing where they would throw it to a commercial and they would leave you hanging and they'd say, when we come back, and they would just tease it. So that teaser, that kind of has to be your hook that you're selling to a radio show or to a TV show of why they should have you on. And then that segues. So by the way, you know, obviously you should have a website for your podcast. That I hope I don't have to mention that. But so you should have a section on your website that lists all this media coverage that you're getting. In my case, when you go to nhte.net, you'll see podcasts and there's a drop down underneath that that says in the media. So those are all the places, like this interview is going to go in there, all the places that I've been interviewed. And so this segues into number two, which is if you're interviewed on the radio, if you're interviewed in an audio only format, in other words, and to some extent you could do this with television or maybe something like this, a live stream, as long as you get permission. But I'm thinking specifically of putting your interviews on YouTube because it's easy to link to wherever it is. Like I'm saying this in the media page and you say, I was interviewed by Christoph Trapp and here's a link to his show. Here's what we talked about. And it's going over there. But what about YouTube? They always say it's the second largest search engine in the world. So there might be people who are just so married to YouTube that that's where they look for everything. And so if they can all of a sudden find you on YouTube, and I'm talking about the interview, I'm not talking about having your podcast on YouTube. That's totally separate. I'm talking about put that media coverage and very quick because there's a lot more. But so here's what I do for my clients. Okay, so when I get a client booked onto a radio show, I will take that audio and I will make a video where when my client is talking, I put up his or her picture. If they're talking about a book that they wrote because they're an author, I'll put up the book cover. If the host of the show is talking, I'll put up his or her picture. Sometimes I'll put up the show logo or the radio station logo. So there's all these different images that can change back and forth. So it's not just one static image. And then it helps to build up inventory on their YouTube channel. And OPS, for the people who say, I don't know what to post about on social media. Well, now you've got something to post about on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and the like, because you can point people to your YouTube channel. So let me come up for air, Christoph, because as you can tell, I get really passionate about this and I'll be happy to share more things from my list. But those are the first two that I always start with.
Yeah, it's a good start. And the other thing, too, is, by the way, if you want to build your podcast website up there in the corner, you can scan that QR code that goes to podpage.com and you can literally build your website like this. It's super easy to do. Certainly there's an affiliate link right there, but check that out. Super easy to build. Maybe we'll share some other ideas, but how do you prioritize what to do first, right? I mean, I'm like, I want to cut up this episode. I'm going to do this and this and this. And some of these things you can automate, right? So when you just said YouTube, like, I don't even worry about YouTube anymore because we literally just multicast to YouTube. It goes into the podcast playlist. That goes to YouTube Music. Good to go, right? Like my amount of effort that I put into YouTube nowadays is so much less than it was 5 years ago, and it's pretty much automated. Give us like a couple other ideas in about 2 minutes here, maybe.
Okay. Yeah. And so in terms of prioritizing, you know, if you had my list of 20 plus ways to promote your podcast, then I would suggest you look at it and you see which ones do you gravitate towards. Cross off the ones that you're already doing. Which are the ones that you're most likely to do, and which ones are fast, which ones are simple, and kind of go about it that way. It's not unlike on both of my podcasts, I do a clip at the very beginning. I start off both shows. They start off with coming up on today's show. And there's a compelling piece of audio from the guest that I hope will tease people into sticking around to hear. I got to hear that in context. I got to hear the whole story. So, you know, if you think about it that way, if you think, okay, what really jumps out at me on Bruce's list, what jumps out at me is something that I'm not doing that I would like to do to promote my podcast. That's what I'm going to jump at. So, you know, another one on my list is to have a business card just for your podcast, because I'm amazed when I go to things like PodFest and people will hand me a business card for their 9-to-5 day job. And you get home from a conference and you're sifting through all the cards and you go, why do I have a card from somebody that works for Bank of America? I don't even bank with them. I don't understand what this is. And eventually it will come back to you. Oh, that was that guy who stopped me in the hallway that he had the kind of red shirt on. And I don't know what his podcast was. I mean, that you get so overwhelmed at the conferences. You got so many other cards. You're not going to remember what that podcast was. So that one's going to get tossed in the garbage. So you got to have a business card that is just for your show. Another thing that I'm big on, this is another one that's on the list, is apparel. So I go to these conferences and I wear Now Hear This Entertainment logoed apparel because I sit up at the front and I make sure that I have the podcast logo on the front and the website address on the back, and people will sit there all day long behind you in sessions and go, NHTE.net. What is this? I've been staring at the back of this guy's shirt all day. And I've done such a good job with branding that I've had people say, I saw you going up the escalator. I saw the back of your shirt. There's one shirt that I have where the entire back of the shirt is the Now Hear This Entertainment logo. And so that all of a sudden it starts to mean something to people. It starts to be recognizable. Another one on the list that somebody approached me the day after I had done the presentation, they came up to me in the hotel lobby and, you know, one of those, you could see them hanging their head, disgusted with themselves. It's so common sense, but the email signature is one that people swing and miss on because they sign off their emails. Have a great day, Joe. And Joe, you just missed out on a great chance. I mean, if you would see my email signature, I have so much down there. I have one line that says social, and it has all the individual social media platforms and links directly to them. And then it says podcast, and I probably have like 6 or 7 platforms directly linked to Now Hear This Entertainment on that specific platform. And then I have another one that says book me to speak, and it has a link to my speakerbrucew.com website. If you don't have that kind of thing in your electronic signature, you might be writing to someone that doesn't even know you have a podcast. And if they look up at the sender and you're just using like Gmail or Yahoo or AOL or MSN, there's no branded email address for them to say, oh, I can go there and look up his podcast. So all of a sudden you missed out on someone that, you know, everybody has their own pet platform. Someone might love Spotify. Someone might love YouTube. So you never know what it is. So if you have those there, someone might look down and go, oh, what's this? And boom, now they click over and you just gained some new eyeballs on your podcast.
It's true. And I really appreciate you sharing some of the not so obvious promotion tips that many other people share. I really appreciate you making the time. We are out of time, but maybe 10 seconds. Tell us, who should reach out to you? Who do you work with? And I really appreciate you coming on the show.
Yeah, sure thing. Thank you for having me. And, you know, if I can help people with promoting their podcast or even just podcasting in general, I've been doing it for 10 years, so I know a thing or two about a thing or two. Either go to nhte.net, or, you know, there's social media logos there that you can follow. You can contact me through DMs. You can email me, bruce@nowhearthis.net. And of course, that's H-E-A-R. And I'm happy to help podcasters in any way I can.
Thanks for tuning in. Please rate and review The Business Storytelling Show on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. See you then.